Good morning.
Good morning.
We are extremely pleased to discuss this most important topic, law of attraction. For within it you will find the understanding, if you are looking for it, the key to all that you seek. We are non-physical friends. What we are meaning by that is the voice that you are hearing now comes forth from non-physical perspective. And we interact here in this very physical world with you in order to assist you in understanding the universal laws that exist in both our non-physical dimension and your physical dimension. There are three eternal universal laws that we are wanting to assist you in understanding, that you may apply them effectively and satisfactorily here through your physical expression of life. The law of attraction is the first of the laws that we are offering. And if you do not understand and are not able to effectively apply the law of attraction, then the second law, which is law of deliberate creating, and the third, which is law of allowing, cannot be. You must understand and effectively utilize the first in order to understand and utilize the second. And you must be able to understand and utilize the second before you will be able to understand and utilize the third. Many of you have in other lives, physical and non-physical, come to understand the law of attraction. You have just forgotten it here. You also have understood and effectively applied law of deliberate creation. Law of allowing is what most of you are working upon now from that broader perspective. The law of attraction says that which is likened to itself is drawn. And when you understand the magnetic power of your thought, then you will understand how it is you are getting what you are getting in your life experience. The second law is the law of deliberate creation. Now, we emphasize the word deliberate because all of you are creators of your life experience. There is not an exception to that. But most of you, because you do not understand these laws, do not create deliberately. You do it by accident or by default. The law of deliberate creation says that which you give thought to and that which you believe or allow or expect is. And the law of allowing says, I am that which I am, and I am willing to allow all others to be that which they are. When you are willing to allow others to be as they are, even in their not allowing of you, then you will be allower. It is not likely that you will reach that point until you come to understand how it is you get what you get. Only when you understand that another cannot be a part of your experience unless you invite them through thought, that circumstances cannot be a part of your experience unless you invite them through thought, only then will you be the allower that you are wanting to be as you have come forth into this expression of life. All of these laws hinge upon your understanding of the law of attraction. You live here in a world that seems very vast. And if you were to look at the world very carefully, you would see that there are amazing events and circumstances. Some of them you approve of and like. Some of them you disapprove of. There is that which you like and that which you don't like, and some of everything in between here in this physical environment. Your physical environment is like the universe itself, where there is some of everything that has ever been thought. ever been imagined, ever been experienced. You're not here to try to get the world to be just like you want it to be. You are here to create the world around you that you choose. While you allow the world as others choose it to exist also. An understanding of that intent as you came forth into physical experience, and an understanding of the law of attraction and the law of deliberate creation, will bring you clearly to your most wanted understanding of all, which is law of allowing. And so let us begin. See yourselves as wondrous and powerful magnets. And your magnetic power hinges upon your use of thought. As you give thought to what is wanted, the magnet reaches out into the universe and attracts other thoughts that are like unto it and brings it unto you. Other thoughts, circumstances, events, other beings or other creators who are wanting that which you want, all of these things are brought into a sort of powerful magnetic funnel into your experience. In short, you are getting what you are thinking about, whether you're wanting it or not. The universe delivers equally, not stopping to question whether you want it or not, but offering you by law whatever it is that you are focused upon. It is a most wondrous law, for as all laws, it is absolute and consistent, and it works even in your ignorance of it. As you begin to give thought, no matter where the stimulation has come from, you may have picked it up subliminally or unconsciously from a friend's thoughts. You may have received it from the television or from something you are reading. It matters not where the stimulation came from. As you ponder that thought, the law of attraction goes to work for you and begins to offer to you other thoughts that are of similar nature. If you are thinking about something in your present, perhaps something that you do not want, you find yourself attracting others who are willing and wanting to talk about the same subject. Until your thought grows larger and larger, you begin to reach into your past experience, sometimes even projecting this negativity into your future experience, attracting more and more conversation, more and more evidence, more and more circumstance and event that perpetuate this negative thought. Of course, it works just as well with positive thought. You are much more than you see here in this physical body. While you are indeed a wondrous physical creator, you exist simultaneously in another dimension. There is a part of you, a non-physical part of you, we call it your inner being, that exists right now as you exist here in this physical body. Many of you have come to understand that you existed before this physical experience, and many of you are believing or hoping that there is something beyond this experience. But what we are wanting you to understand is that you have a partner in this life experience, a non-physical part of you that exists now and communicates with you from the non-physical dimension. Your inner being speaks to you in the form of emotion. Now, this is a very important understanding for you, for as you have just heard, the law of the universe, this powerful law of attraction, works to give you more of whatever you are thinking about. It is nice to know that you have an inner being who is paying attention to what you are attracting through thought and offering you some guidance as a sort of reminder of what it is you are really wanting. As we speak of these laws, sometimes we put you into a sort of a tailspin. You say, if my thoughts are these powerful magnetic attractors, then I must monitor my thoughts to see that I do not give thought to what I do not want. But your thoughts come so fast, and that would be a very difficult, if not impossible, thing for you to do, to monitor every thought. For as you were monitoring your thoughts, you could not be thinking the thoughts. You have a pre-arrangement, pre-meaning before your birth here, with your inner being. Your inner being agreed to offer you emotion, emotion that you would feel. The emotion was a good idea because you can be thinking other thoughts and yet still receive the communication through feeling. And this communication, from our perspective, is a most wondrous guidance system. If you are giving thought in the direction of something that is wanted, your inner being will offer you positive emotion. If you are giving thought in the direction of what is not wanted, your inner being will offer you negative emotion. And so simply by paying attention to the way that you are feeling, you will know at all times the direction from which your powerful magnetic being is attracting the subject of whatever you are giving thought to. Your wondrous guidance system is of great advantage to you, because the powerful law of attraction is working whether you know that it is or not. And so as you are giving thought to something that you are not wanting, as you stay focused upon that thought, by law, you are attracting more and more and more and more and more, until eventually you will attract events or circumstances right into your experience, you see. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then you will notice in the early subtle stages that you are focused upon something that you are not wanting, so that you may easily change the thought to begin attracting something that you are wanting. If you're not sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then you will not notice that you are thinking in the direction of what you are not wanting, and you may very well attract something very large and very powerful that you do not want, that will take some doing to deal with later, you see. There are only two emotions from our perspective. One feels good and one feels bad. You call them all sorts of different things. But essentially, all of those negative emotions, whether you call it guilt or loneliness or anger or frustration, all of those feel much the same. They do not feel good. And all of them are guidance from inner being saying that which you are thinking, speaking, or acting is not in harmony with what you are really wanting. What we have just offered is an explanation of how thoughts connect one with another, how thoughts literally draw other thoughts. As thoughts add one unto the other, they become bigger and bigger and bigger. And proportionately, the emotion that comes forth from within becomes greater and greater and greater. Therefore, as you are focused upon something that you want, by law of attraction, more and more thoughts toward what you are wanting will be drawn, and greater positive emotion will come forth from inner being. If you are wanting to create something very quickly, focus upon that which you want, until more and more thoughts of what you are wanting are gathered unto, bringing forth greater and greater powerful emotion, and then you will be a very powerful magnet bringing into your experience the subject of your thought. That which you really, really want comes to you very quickly. And when we use the word want, what we are saying is giving thought in the direction of what is wanted, while at the same time experiencing great, powerful, passionate, positive emotion. If you can see yourselves as a magnet, can you not understand that it is your state of being that attracts unto you? If you are feeling poor, from that state of being, you cannot attract prosperity. It defies law. If you are feeling unloved, you cannot attract love. If you are feeling fat or unattractive, you cannot attract beauty. It defies law. Your mental state of being or your attitude about self is the basis from which you attract more unto you. These are very powerful and very important words for you to hear. It is our intent to offer you a process by which you may attract precisely what you are wanting, no matter what your current state of being. And so law of attraction has many different points of view. It applies to thoughts that have magnetic power, that are attracted one to another. It has to do with people who have magnetic power, who attract one to another. It has to do with you being a magnet, attracting thought, attracting people, attracting events, attracting lifestyle. Indeed, everything that you bring into your experience, you bring because of this powerful law of attraction. And so the point is to see yourself as you are wanting to be, as if it already is, and from that point of being, you will attract more. That is the reason that the better it gets, the better it gets. And the worse it gets, the worse it gets. We are wanting to assist you in a process that will bring you to a view or picture of yourself from which you will begin to attract. So many of you do not see yourselves through your own eyes. You let others reflect back to you their vision of you. And as you look into their eyes and hear their words, what they see of you is not what you are wanting to see, but it is so real that it is from that perspective that you attract. You become a magnet that is created through the eyes and wanting of others, rather than a magnet that is created by your own desire of who you are wanting to be. We will offer you a process by which you will choose what sort of magnet you will be. No longer will you be subject to what others believe or want or see. You will be the powerful creator of you and of your experience. Indeed. You may be feeling that it would be easier to be hearing these words if they had come to you the first day of your experience upon this earth. And if we were talking to you on your first day of physical life experience, we would say to you, welcome to planet Earth. There is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. You are a magnificent creator, and you are here by your powerful and deliberate wanting to be here. You have specifically applied the wondrous law of deliberate creation, and by your ability to do that, you are here. Go forth, giving thought to what you are wanting, attracting life experience to help you decide what you want, and once you have decided, giving thought only unto that. Most of your time will be spent collecting data, data that will help you decide what it is you want. But your real work is to decide what you want and then to focus upon it. For it is through focusing upon what you want that you will attract it. That is the process of creating. Giving thought to what you want, so much thought and such clear thought that your inner being offers forth emotion. And as you are giving thought with emotion, you become the most powerful of all magnets. And that is the process by which you will attract into your experience. Many of the thoughts that you will be thinking will not be powerful in their attracting, not in the beginning, not unless you stay focused upon them long enough that they become more. And as they become more in quantity, they become more in power. And as they become more in quantity and more in power, the emotion that comes forth from inner being will be greater. When you think thoughts with no emotion, you are creating pretty much on your own. When you think thoughts with emotion, you have accessed the power of the universe. Go forth, we would say, on this first day of life experience, knowing that your work is to decide what you want and then to focus upon that. But we are not talking to you on the first day of your life experience. You have been here for a while. And most of you have been seeing yourself not only through your own eyes, in fact, not even primarily through your own eyes. You have been seeing yourselves through the eyes of others. And many of you are not now currently in the state of being that you want to be. We intend here to offer you a process where you can achieve the state of being that is your choosing, so that you will access the power of the universe and begin attracting the subject of your wanting rather than the subject of what you feel is your actual state of being. From our perspective, there is a very great difference between that which now exists, that which you call your reality, and that which your reality really is. Even as you sit there in a body that is not healthy, or in a body that is not the size or shape or vitality that you choose, in a lifestyle that does not please you, driving an automobile that embarrasses you, interacting with others that do not bring you pleasure. We are wanting to assist you in understanding that while that may seem to be your state of being, it need not be. Your state of being is the way you feel about self in any point in time. Thoughts that are thought without emotion are not of great magnetic power. While every thought that you think has creative potential or magnetic attracting potential, the thoughts that are thought in combination with emotion are the most powerful. Certainly, the majority of your thoughts then, understanding that, have no great attracting power. They are more or less maintaining what you have already attracted. But in order to affect change in your life experience, thoughts thought in combination with great emotion are necessary. And so, can you not see the value of spending 10 or 15 minutes every day deliberately setting forth powerful thoughts in combination with great, powerful, passionate, positive emotion in order to attract circumstances and events into your life experience that are to your wanting? We see great value in that, and that is what we are offering now, is the process by which you may spend a little bit of time in every day where you will intentionally attract into your experience the health, the vitality, the prosperity, the interaction with others, all the things that make up your vision of what perfect life experience for you would be. That will be a changing thing, friends. For as you intend and receive, you will not only receive the benefit of that which you have created, you will also receive a new perspective from which your intentions will be different. That is what evolution and growth are about. Here is the process. You are going to go to a sort of workshop every day. Not for a long period of time. 15 minutes is a good amount of time. 20 at most. This workshop need not be the same place in every day. It is good if it is a place where you are not distracted. And it is not a place where you will enter an altered state of consciousness. It is not a meditative state. It is a place where you will go, clearly giving thought to what you are wanting, giving thought with such clarity that your inner being responds by offering emotion. Before you go to this place, it is important that you be happy. For as you go there not happy or feeling no emotion, then your work will not be of great value, for your attracting power will not be there. When we say happy, we are not speaking of that jumping up and down sort of excitement. We mean an uplifted, light-hearted feeling, that sort of feeling where all is well. And so we recommend that you do whatever it takes to get happy. For each of you, it is a different process. For Esther, hearing music is a very fast way to get that uplifted, happy feeling. Not all music, and not even the same music every time. For some of you, it is interacting with animals, or being near water that is moving. And once you bring yourself to that feeling, then sit. And now you are in your workshop. Your work here in this workshop is to assimilate data that you have been collecting from your real life experience, interacting with others, moving in and out of your physical environment. Bringing the data together in a sort of picture of self, a picture that satisfies and pleases you. Your life experience outside of your workshop is of great value. And as you are moving around through your day, no matter what you are doing, as you are going to work, as you are working around your home, as you are interacting with your mate or your friends or your children or your parents, if you will use that time with one of your intentions being to collect data, looking for things that you like that you may bring into your workshop, then you will find every day a day of fun. Have you ever gone on a shopping spree where you had some money in your pocket and your intent on this spree was to find something that you wanted to spend your money for? And as you are looking around, there are many things that you don't want. Your intent being to find something that you want to exchange for the dollars. Well, that is the way we would like you to look at every day of your life experience, as if you have a pocket full of something that you are exchanging for this data. You may see someone who has a joyful personality collect that data, intending to bring it into your workshop later. You may see someone driving an automobile that you would like, collect that data. You may see an occupation that pleases you. Whatever it is that you are seeing that pleases you, remember it, even write it down if you are wanting. As you see anything that you think you would like to be your life experience, see yourself as collecting the data in a sort of mental bank. And then when you go into your workshop, you can begin assimilating the data. And as you assimilate the data, you will prepare a picture of self from which you will begin attracting into your experience. If you are able to grasp that your work, no matter what other activities you are performing, your real work is to look around for things that you want with the intent of bringing them into the workshop in order to create your vision of self from which you will attract, then you will come to know that there is nothing that you cannot be or do or have. And so now you are happy and you are sitting someplace in your workshop, and let us offer you a sort of example of the way you may do your work in your workshop. I like being here, for I recognize the value and power of this time. I feel very good as I am here. And as I see myself in a sort of total package, a package that I know is of my own creating, and certainly a package of my choosing. I am full of energy in this picture of self, tireless really, moving through life experience with no resistance. As I see myself gliding about in this picture of self, moving in and out of my car, in and out of buildings, in and out of rooms, in and out of conversations, in and out of life experience, I see myself flowing effortlessly, comfortably, and happily. I see myself attracting only those who are in harmony with my current intent, and I see myself clearer and clearer in every moment about what it is I am wanting. When I get into my automobile and I'm moving to a place, I see myself arriving at that place healthy and refreshed and on time and prepared for whatever it is that I'm about to do there. I see myself dressed to perfection in just the manner that I choose for self. And it is nice to know that it matters not what others are doing or what others are even thinking about what I am doing. What is important is that I am pleased with me. And as I see myself in this picture of self, I certainly am. I recognize that I am unlimited in all facets of my life. I have a bank account, a checkbook balance that is not limited. And as I see myself moving through life experience, it is exhilarating to know that there is nothing that I am doing limited by dollars. I'm making all of my decisions based upon whether I want the experience or not, not based upon whether I can afford the experience or not. For I have recognized finally that I am a magnet that attracts whatever prosperity, whatever health, whatever relationships that I choose at any point in time. I choose absolute and continuing abundance, for I understand that there is not a limit to the abundance in the universe, and that by my attracting it to me, I am not limiting another. There is enough for everyone, and the key is for us to see it and want it, and then we will attract it. And so I have chosen unlimited, not necessarily putting a big stash away, for I am understanding that I have the power to attract it as I am wanting it for whatever I am wanting it for. And as I think of something else that I am wanting, the dollars flow to me easily. And so I have an unlimited supply of dollars or abundance or prosperity. There are abundances in all aspects of my life. I see myself surrounded by others who, like me, are wanting growth, who are drawn to me by my willingness to allow them to be or do or have whatever they are wanting. While I do not need to draw into my experience those things that they may be choosing that I do not like, I see myself interacting with others, talking, laughing, enjoying that which is perfect in them while they enjoy that which is perfect in me. All of us appreciating one another and none of us criticizing or noticing those things that we are not liking. I see myself in perfect health. I see myself in absolute prosperity. I see myself invigorated with life, appreciating again this physical life experience, which I wanted so very much as I decided to be a physical being. It is glorious to be here, a physical being, making decisions with my physical brain, but accessing the power of the universe through the power of the law of attraction. And it is from this marvelous state of being that I now attract more of same. It is good. It is fun. I am liking it very much. And now my work for this day is done. I will leave this workshop and I will set out the remainder of this day looking for more things that I like. It is nice to know that if I see one who is prosperous but sick, I do not need to bring the whole package into my workshop, just the part that I like. So I will bring the example of prosperity while I will leave the example of sickness out. My work is done. You have some questions for us upon this subject?
Yes, some questions that others have asked and that I think will be relevant to those listening to this tape. First, you spoke of these major laws, universal laws. Are there some laws that are not universal?
There are many that you may call laws. We reserve our definition of law for those things that are universal. In other words, as you enter into this physical dimension, you have the agreement of time, mm-hmm. the agreement of gravity, the agreement of this perception of space, where that is not universal, for there are other dimensions that do not share that experience. In many cases where you may use the word law, we would use the word agreement instead.
Okay, good. How many ways can we consciously use this law of attraction?
We'll begin by saying you are utilizing it whether you know you are or not. You cannot stop using it. It is inherent in everything that you do. But we are appreciating your question, for you are wanting to know how to deliberately use
yes.
it to the achievement of that which you intentionally are wanting.
Yes.
you may deliberately utilize it by focusing upon something that you are wanting, knowing that as you stay focused upon it, more thoughts will be gathered to it, making it stronger and more powerful, which will bring it about very quickly. That is one way you may intentionally utilize it, by staying focused upon something and just letting it do its work, rather than flitting from thought to thought so fast that you never attract any real power. And there is one other very important way of utilizing it, by achieving a state of being in your mind and letting that be the basis from which you attract. It is an advantage to be surrounded by those who look for the best in you. For as they see what you are wanting to see, it stimulates your observation, your magnetic attraction to what you are wanting. While it is of great disadvantage to be surrounded by those who look for your flaws. For as you are seeing them seeing your flaws, then that often becomes your point of attraction.
Okay, so let's say a person has something going already from their previous thoughts, and they decide they want to suddenly change that. Is there a momentum factor? Do they have to slow down what's already been created, or can they instantly create it back the other direction?
There ordinarily is a momentum factor. It need not be, but it usually is, because it is not easy for you to abruptly change anything. You tend to continue thinking in the direction that you have been thinking. You are habitual creatures. And so out of your habit of action or of word or of thought, you continue to maintain the direction that you have already achieved, you see.
And so for the individual who was trying to make a severe switch in prosperity or in health, and they had a momentum factor going the other way, how much faith would it require to say, well, I know this is going to work, even though it hasn't worked yet?
An understanding of the process is really the best way. You see, from your point of disappointment, you are attracting more to be disappointed about. That is the value of this workshop that we've talked about, of getting happy and then going to a place where you see it as you are wanting to be, seeing it so clearly that you believe that it already is, bringing forth the emotion, and from that state of being you will attract it. Disappointment is communication from inner being that which you are focused upon is not what you are wanting. If you are sensitive to the way that you are feeling, then the disappointment itself will let you know that what you are thinking about is not what you are wanting.
Right. So I have watched through the years, let's say like there'd be a hijacking of an airplane or a terrorist activity or a severe case of child abuse or a mass murder or something negative like that. And then I'll see almost a worldwide wave of that beginning to occur. Is that brought on by the same process?
The law of attraction says that that which is likened to itself is drawn. Therefore, one who is considering hijacking an airliner would be drawn to the television report, seeing the information of hijacking, adding support to that intention held by that individual. That is one way that it works. One who has clear intent not to draw any sort of negative information into his experience is probably not watching the broadcast to begin with, you see. There are so many different intentions and variations of intentions that it is very difficult for us to point out in general how one would bring it about. Certainly, these newscasts add to these situations. For as more and more are focused upon what they are not wanting, they are adding to the subject. Their emotional power is adding great influence to the overall events of your world. That is what mass consciousness is about.
Currently, there's a wide range of televised surgery going on. Do you see that sort of thing as increasing the amount of surgery that will actually occur per capita?
Absolutely. You see, what happens is the being watches the television, sees something that they are very much not wanting, illness, sees it displayed or talked about in such detail. They tell you that one out of every five has it, and then they tell you all of the terrible details of it. And as you stay focused upon it, you will receive negative emotion, fear, or dread. As you are focused upon that which you are not wanting, receiving communication from your inner being in the form of emotion saying to you that that which you are focused upon is not what you are wanting, you are in the perfect position for attracting it. Your attracting magnet is on in powerful fashion, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, this negative influence brought about by your television has much to do with the stimulation of thought. They assist you by keeping you focused upon it.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot forget very long, for they keep it coming at you, you see. And the more you think about it, the more you worry about it, the more you attract it, indeed.
So using the process that you've just given of going into the workshop and focusing on the things that you want, and then out of the workshop and you have a negative emotion, would you suggest trying to find what the thought was that gave you the negative emotion, or would you suggest just thinking of one of the things that you've been thinking about in the workshop that you want?
Good. Very good question. What is most important is that you stop the negative creating. And if there is negative emotion present, you are negatively creating or negatively attracting.
Okay.
The fastest thing to do is to change the thought. However, if there is some very powerful belief within you that causes this thought and negative emotion to come forth again and again and again, then you may find that you are having to do that over and over many times in a day.
Mm-hmm.
If that is the case, then it is a good idea to take time to deal with it. And you do that by saying what thought has brought forth this negative emotion. And when you identify the thought, talk about it to yourself, adding new information until you actually change or bridge that old belief.
Can you give me an
to
example?
Something that is new. Your guidance system works best when you are setting forth continual, deliberate intentions of what you are wanting. Let us say that you have intended in your workshop perfect health. You have visualized yourself as that healthy, vital being.
Mm-hmm.
And you are moving through your day. And while you are having your lunch, you are sitting with a friend, and your friend is discussing her own illness.
Mm-hmm.
And as she speaks about her illness, you find yourself feeling very uncomfortable and uneasy in the conversation. Now, what is happening is your warning bell, your guidance system, is saying to you that which you are hearing and that which you are thinking and that which you are about to speak about is not in harmony with your intent. And so you make a very clear, decisive decision to stop this conversation from going further in the direction, and you decide that you will change the subject. But your friend is very excited and emotionally drawn to this subject, and so your friend brings the conversation back to it, and again your warning bell begins to ring. Now, what we are talking about here happens within you even when there is not another friend. In other words, if there is a belief within you that is very important to you,
mm-hmm.
then even as you try to change the subject in your own mind, your own beliefs may keep bringing it back.
Good.
And that is when you recognize that it is something that you must deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in such an event, when the negative emotion comes, you say, "What thought brought that forth?" Well, I've intended health, and here I am thinking that I am feeling a little achy, thinking that maybe the flu that everyone else has is going to get me again this year. Now you say, that was a belief that I held before. Now I know that I am the creator of my experience, and I choose not to have the flu. I have received the flu in years gone by because I did not know I was in control.
Mm-hmm.
I did not realize that my thought toward it and my expecting of it was the reason I got it. Now I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, now I will not accept the flu as part of my holiday season. I solicit it not. I attract it not. Now you are in the process of bridging the belief.
Good.
It may be that it will come up again and again, not very much. And
mm-hmm.
each time it comes up, if you will deal with it in that way, eventually it will not come up again, you
yes.
see.
How about in the dream world? Are we creating in our dreams? Are we attracting through the thoughts that we're having or experiencing in our dreams?
You're not. You are creating from your fully conscious state. Your dream state is not the state through which you create. It is more often communication offered to you by inner being to assist you in understanding what you are creating.
To what degree are we a part of what someone we're associated with has attracted, maybe that we want or that we don't want? How much does another person that we're associated with bring into our life through what they've attracted, the things that we want or the things that we don't want?
There are many facets to this creating. And when you attract another individual into your life experience, it seems as if you attract with them everything that they are. And if you think that, then that will be. In other words, you may attract a very dynamic being into your life experience, someone who is wondrous and fun to be with, but whose life is in total disarray. And so as you attract the being, you may attract the confusion that surrounds them into your own life experience. You need not, however. You may literally attract into your experience only the part of their experience that you are wanting. But that takes very clear definition on your part of what you do want.
Mm-hmm.
You attract into your experience much confusion because you focus upon the confusion in their life. You bring a friend into your life and then you focus upon all the things in their life that you do not like, and then you solicit that into your own experience, you see.
Okay, so then we don't need to repel any negatives. We just have to attract what we want.
It is really the same thing.
That's where the saying, resist ye not evil, probably came from.
It is not necessary to resist that which you are not attracting, you are right.
Mm.
You see, the conscious repelling
right.
is not a real effective way of going about it, because then your attention is upon that which you are trying to repel. And when your attention is upon it, you are attracting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are resisting evil, you are giving your thought to evil, and by law you will attract it. And so do not acknowledge it and do not attract it.
I use the word evil there. What would your definition of the word evil be?
Evil is that which each of us believes is not in harmony with what we are wanting.
And good?
Good is that which each of us believes we are wanting.
How do we know what we're wanting? One of the most common things I've heard through the years is people say, well, I just don't know what I do want.
Discovering what you are wanting and then attracting it to your experience is your work here. That is why you are here.
Yes.
We understand it is not an easy thing to do, for you are in the process of learning all about that. Your work is to determine what you want.
And so could you briefly give us an idea of a system or a process to find out what we want?
A statement, I want to know what I want, can be very important under those circumstances. For identifying that you are wanting to know what you want will begin the attraction process.
So the person that's telling me, I want to know what I want, are right at that moment beginning to find it.
That is correct. They are beginning to attract data through which they can make decision about what they want. All experience is of great value. Some of your experiences, you say, no good came from that except that I know I don't want that again.
Mm-hmm.
That is of great value.
Mm-hmm.
For it helps you more clearly identify what you do want. You say, for example, there is not gain without pain. And that has evolved from what we have just offered. You say, there is good in all experience. And then you continue that thought to saying, if there is to be good gained, then we must have bad experience. And what we are wanting to clearly state here is that it is never necessary to attract a bad experience in order to understand that there is a better one to be had. That is why we suggest the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Your emotion comes forth. Whether you are living the real life experience, whether you are dreaming the real life experience in your sleep state, or whether you are dreaming the real life experience in your awake state, as in daydreaming in your workshop. giving your thought to a supposed situation will bring forth the emotion to let you know how you feel about it, just as if it were a real experience. And so we suggest that in your workshop, you bring all sorts of combination of data in to see how you feel about it. When you are clear about everything that you want, you will get all of the results that you want. But often you are not so clear. You say, for example, I want the color of yellow, and I want the color of blue. But what you end up with is green, and you say, how did I get that? I did not intend that at all. When it came forth as a combination of other intentions, you see. And so there is a blending of intentions that is continually occurring within you, but it is so complex that your conscious thinking mechanism cannot sort it all out. But your inner being, that greater, broader, wiser, older you, can sort it out and can offer you emotion. And so all that is required is that you pay attention to the way that you feel and you let yourself be drawn to those things that feel good or right to you while you let yourself move away from those things that do not. When you have practiced this a bit, you will find yourself in the very early stages knowing when you are interacting with another being whether they have that to offer which is of value or whether they have that which is of not value. You will know whether you're wanting to invite them into your experience through your thought, word, and action, or whether to not invite them by giving your attention someplace else.
I can see the robber being attracted to the person they are robbing, but it's difficult to see the victim, as they're called, attracting the robber to them.
But they are just the same. The victim and the assaulter are co-creators of the event.
So one's thinking about what they don't want and getting it, and the other thinking about what they do want and getting
it. That is correct. You see, it makes no difference whether you want it or not. The subject of your attention is that which attracts. That is why we say to you, that which you really, really want, you get. And that which you really, really don't want, you get.
Yeah.
And the way you do not get powerful emotional thought is by not thinking the first not so powerful thought that is added to by law of attraction.
Yeah.
You read in the paper that someone has been robbed. Unless you read a detailed account that brings forth great emotion within you, reading the account or hearing of it will not necessarily put you in the attracting mode. But as you read it and discuss it with another and then see it reported upon the television until you become emotionally involved, then you become an attractor for such an experience. That is why your statistics say that one out of five in your city will be robbed this year. It is because they do such a good job of stimulating your thought to the awareness of that, bringing it to you again and again until you not only think of it with emotion, but you expect it. It is no wonder that you get so many of the things you do not want. You give so much of your attention to the things that you do not want. We would recommend that if you hear of it, that you say, that is their experience. I choose not that, and release the thought and think of what you do want. Relationships are co-creating, you see. You are here in this environment surrounded by others because you are wanting to understand this business of co-creating. You are wanting to put your thoughts forth to attract others, that the merging of your thoughts may attract some experiences that you share. As you are giving thought to that which you do not want, you are powerful in your attraction of it.
I recall as a kid I had very poor health and was very weak, and I decided to build up my body and then learned how to defend myself and practiced it and got very good at it. And from the time I was a teenager until I was 33 years old, there was seldom a week that went by that I didn't have what we called a fist fight, that I didn't hit somebody in the face. Then my 33rd year, I made some decisions that I was going to stop taking revenge and so on and so forth. And since then, I have not hit one person. In other words, all those people that I thought were picking fights and starting fights with me, now that I don't practice for it anymore, they never come around.
You, in your 33rd year, changed the direction of your attraction.
Yes.
We have a question for you.
Yes.
was there momentum involved, or was your clear conscious decision enough to change the attracting?
Well, in that case, it was not momentum. I quit.
Good.
That's true, I quit.
An answer to your own question. There is a word you use here, prejudice. And it is most often felt that there are those who do not like certain things about other beings. And in their dislike for those characteristics, there is great problem that is caused. We want to point out that it is not only the doing of the one who is accused of being prejudiced. More often, the one who feels prejudiced against is the most powerful creator in that experience. The being who feels that others do not like him for whatever reason, whether it is religion or race, color, no matter what the reason is that he feels that he is being prejudiced against, it is more often his attention to the subject that attracts his trouble than it is those from whom he attracts it.
There's a statement that doesn't seem to blend with what we've heard from you, and that is that opposites attract. And so that's different than you think in terms of like attracting like. Like an outgoing man will marry a shy woman, or an outgoing woman will marry and be attracted to a shy man.
Let us introduce the word harmony here, for it is important in the understanding of this.
Okay.
When two are exactly the same, then their intentions cannot be fulfilled. In other words, one who is wanting to sell does not do well to attract another seller. But the attracting of a buyer brings forth the harmony.
That's right.
It is a different subject. You see, it is the intent that is doing the attraction. The shy man attracts an outgoing woman because what he is wanting is to be more outgoing, and so he is actually attracting the subject of his wanting, you see. That which he does not see in himself, he attracts in the other.
How is it that some people attract what they want, something they've really, really wanted, and then when it comes, they find it to be a very negative situation? It brings them pain.
Ordinarily, it is not that what they have wanted and attracted brings them pain. It is that they have not been clear enough or specific enough, and so they have attracted something else as well. It is attracted out of confusion more than out of specific wanting.
Okay, that makes sense.
That is the value of the workshop. When you get into your workshop, visualizing all of the possibilities, letting your emotion come forth when you are touching upon that which you are really wanting, and then working upon that, staying focused there, then you will not have so much of that.
Is everything and everyone, is every world composed of thought or by thought? Or neither?
Both.
Or both.
Thought is the stuff or the vehicle through which all things are attracted or moved about. In other words, it all exists. See the world or the universe,
mm-hmm.
both,
mm-hmm.
as a sort of well-stocked kitchen where every possible ingredient that has ever been pondered, considered, thought, wanted, exists,
mm-hmm.
in abundant quantity, never-ending quantity. And you are the chef.
Mm-hmm.
Soliciting forth from the shelves of your kitchen in whatever quantity you desire, and you are mixing it all together for the creation of your cake.
Mm-hmm. If someone would say to you, Abraham, I want to be more joyful. How can I use what you're teaching to attract more joy and happiness and harmony into my life?
It is a very good question. We could have saved many words if all we say to you is seek joy. And if the wanting of joy was really important to you, then you would not allow yourself to think the thoughts that did not bring it forth. And you would automatically focus upon the thoughts that did. And it would bring about the same results for you, you see. Your guidance system offers joy to you when you are focused upon what you are wanting, while it offers the opposite or negative emotion when you are focused upon what is not. Certainly, the seeking of joy is a very good choice and a very good path and would bring you to a great, fulfilled, productive, creative life experience. So many of you do not understand where joy comes from or why it comes. You think you are victims, living life by chance. You think there is fate or luck, and there is none of that. There is only the application of law, either intentionally or by default.
Some would say for a person to want to be joyous all the time is a very selfish way to want to be, as though it's a negative.
Selfishness is sense of self, picture of self. Whether you think it is a positive or a negative term, it is from yourself or from your selfishness or from your picture of self that you attract. And so you define the way you see self, and from that point of view, you attract. Therefore, we would encourage your picture of self, your attitude of selfishness, to be that of what you choose. If that is selfishness, then we are all for it.
So you would see as much right and as much joy involved in giving as in receiving. In other words, they could be equally good and equally joyous, giving or receiving. You don't see one as morally superior to the other.
That is correct. We have spent most of this recording time talking about how to get what you want,
mm-hmm.
teaching you about your guidance system to assist you in getting what you want, showing you a workshop to assist you in knowing what you want. And yet many of you do not feel worthy of being the one to decide. You are looking outside of self for one who makes the decisions about what is right and wrong. And you allow yourself to want only that which they say you should want. That is the reason we see you in such a state of confusion, for what they say is a very great variable. You are the creator of your experience, and your work, your reason for being here, is to define what you want and then to understand the laws and apply them in order to get it. There are as many different worlds here as there are perceivers or beings or individuals. You are not here to create one world where everyone is same, wanting and getting same. You are here to be that which you are wanting to be, while you allow all others to be that which they are wanting to be.
Let me play the part of the devil's advocate here, so to speak. So, if all the selfish beings on the planet are getting what they want, what kind of mess would this world be?
It would not be and is not a mess at all. For by law of attraction, they would attract unto them those who are in harmony with their intent. You see, this is a very well-balanced place in which you live. There is some of everything here in enough proportion, in enough abundance, and in enough difference to give you all of the ingredients for this vast and marvelous kitchen that you have come to participate within.
What would make it painless? I have a joyous life, but I see a lot of agony around me.
You cannot create in the experience of another because you cannot think their thoughts. And it is their thought that they are thinking, or the word that they are speaking,
true,
or the act that they are doing that is bringing forth the emotional response from their inner being.
Mm-hmm.
They are creating their own agony by giving thought to that which they do not want. Now, what you can do for them is set the example of joy, become a being who thinks only that which he is wanting, that speaks of only that which he is wanting, that does only that which he is wanting, and therefore brings forth only joyful emotion. Therefore, you would be an example of joy.
So I can do that, and I can focus on what I'm wanting, that joy, and I can allow them to have whatever experience they want to have, because if I focus on their painful experience, I will now create pain in my own experience.
That is correct.
And I'll be setting that example.
That is correct.
And so the key is just continuing to seek joy myself, set that example, and allow others, really allow them, to have whatever experience they're creating for themselves.
You will know when you have reached the point of allowing them to be or do or have whatever they want, when as you are aware that they are doing it, you are not feeling negative emotion about it. When you are allower, you are feeling joy, observing the experience of all, you see.
Mm-hmm.
You have come full circle with your questions.
Yes, you
in
do.
Helping us explain the three laws that are so very important. For as you understand this important law of attraction and understand the deliberate process for creating, giving thought in the direction of what is wanted to the point that you have great, powerful emotion that comes forth from inner being, which helps you in your creating, then you are understanding that you need not bring into your experience anything that you are not wanting, as you become so good at it that you do not give thought to that which you do not want. And then you will be allower. For then you will not be threatened by others, for you will recognize that even as they sit in the same room with you, as you do not give your attention to what you do not want, they will not be a part of your experience. You will attract no negative experience unless you give thought with emotion, you see. The thought always brings forth the emotion. As you are thinking a thought or speaking a word or giving action, then your inner being is offering the emotion in response to that thought, word, or action.
So how can we have a thought about something that's negative and not have an emotional response to it?
You cannot. And we would not suggest that you try. In other words, to say, never have negative emotion would be the same as saying, do not have a guidance system. Pay no attention to your guidance system, and that is not what we are saying. The key is, as you are having a little thought, you will have a little negative emotion.
Yes.
And if you are sensitive to the way that you feel, you will change the thought.
Yes.
And it is easy to do when it is a small thought.
Yes.
And a small emotion.
Yes.
It is much harder when it is a big thought and a big emotion. And the emotion will be proportionate in power to the amount of thought that you have amassed by law of attraction. The longer you stay focused upon what you do not want, the greater and more powerful that thought will become. And so as you are sensitive to your emotions, and you get off the subject very quickly, then you will not gather the power, you see.
Could you, in this last few moments or minutes, give us some words that we could use to help attract to us a variety of things like perfect health?
I want perfect health.
Perfect prosperity.
I want prosperity.
Great relationships.
I want great relationships.
Positive, non-physical experiences.
I'm wanting to attract those who are in harmony with me, physical and non-physical.
And continual joyous growth?
I am growth-seeking being.
And that attracts it?
I am healthy. I am prosperous. I am happy. I am filled with joy.
Mm-hmm.
I am interacting with those who are in harmony. I am, I am, I am. As you see yourself as that, it is from that magnetic base that you will attract more.
What do you see as success, the mark of success?
There are many trophies or measures that you use here. Certainly the attraction of your dollars you use as standard, or your attraction of trophies. But from our perspective, the positive emotion that you feel is the greatest measure of success. As you want something and achieve it, you also achieve a new perspective from which you will want. The things that have satisfied you before will not likely satisfy you for very long, because you are inherently growth-seeking and you cannot remain in the same place and have growth also.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that you feel is the indicator. When you feel restless, this is indication that you are not seeking growth. Let your emotions be your guide.
Okay.
They are the most wonderful of guidance system. We are amused as we watch the majority spending most of their life seeking a set of rules against which they can measure their life experience, looking outside of self for those who will tell them what is right or wrong, when all along they have within them a guidance system that is so sophisticated, so intricate, so exact, so precise, so appropriate. A system that can analyze in an instant everything that they are wanting to be from total perspective, everything that they are thinking they are wanting from current physical conscious perspective, and everything that is taking place around them in their current environment, mm-hmm. and offer them an emotion to let them know the appropriateness of whatever is happening. The appropriateness, in fact, of every thought,
mm-hmm.
every word, every interaction. Such a wonderful guidance system, not utilized by but a few of you. It is our reason for interacting with you, to acquaint you with the total you, so that you may begin utilizing that broader, fuller, wiser, all-knowing perspective, so that you may use the God force that comes forth from within for the creating.
Mm-hmm.
What more?
I'm complete.
We've enjoyed very much interacting upon this topic, for it is most important in the understanding of why you are here and how to be that which you have intended. Each of you, from your non-physical perspective, before you emerged into this physical expression of life, intended to have growth, and you intended to access this guidance system from within to assist you in your growth. And we have come forth to remind you that it exists and to teach you or offer you the process. There is great love here.
Thank you.
We are complete.
Thank you very much. And this concludes the Law of Attraction.